Right now, this is a delicate enough operation without you crooning in my ear, Kev says, focusing his aim on the pink urinal cake in front of him. In case you've forgotten, small talk is a currency in this town. Thanks to small talk, I drink for free most nights. And Kev, buddy, I love drinking for free. I love it, man. God forbid I ruin your discount, Muzz. It's not as if I have a lot on my mind right now, Kev says, zipping up. And when he gets to the sink, Muzzy's waiting with a paper towel in hand. Just be human, he says. That's all I'm asking. Kev nods, though mostly because that's the direction his chin is moving anyway. Muzzy's talk of talk and currency makes his head swim. His brain buzzes like a blown-out amplifier. In truth, there's little about his time in California that he wants to share, least of all with an expectant crowd, least of all with Muzzy. He's let them think he's something he isn't, and now he's in no condition to maintain the ruse, to give it the TLC it demands. The real story, that he squandered time in a bar with other wannabe musicians while his guitar case gathered dust, that he waited a lot of tables and watched a lot of basic cable, that he lasted all of 3 gigs as the frontman of a Pearl Jam cover band, the Jeremies, before his bandmates took a secret vote of no confidence and started auditioning replacements behind his back. It's an unforgivable sin. Better he should have rotted away in small-town obscurity. Give them what they want, he thinks, splashing himself with water, shaking out the nervous energy, pumping himself up the way he would have had he ever gotten a chance to take the stage in front of a real monster crowd. But the truth is, he'd rather be anywhere else right now. I figured you'd want all this, Muzzy says, leaning on the door. All that prodigal son stuff. Sure, Kev says. Let the record show you've got a big heart. Exiting the bathroom, the bar looks even more crowded than Kev remembered. It's doubled in volume in the time it took to drain 1 18-ounce bladder. Young people standing shoulder to shoulder, jostling. No one ever fell over dead from telling a story, you know, Muzzy says, clapping him on the shoulder, and then somehow, as if by magic, he's disappeared into the crowd. Right, Kev thinks. You get their attention, and I'll break their hearts. At the end of the bar, one of the girlfriends is sitting by herself, a spot open next to her, her boyfriend with the big crucifix, nowhere to be found. So you're the one who got out, she says to Kev, who, picking his way through the throng of bodies, does a double take. He notices her out of the corner of his eye, the one who'd been holding her shoes, an unlit cigarette dangling from her lips. And for a moment, he wishes he was the kind of guy who carried a lighter. Muzzy is nowhere to be found, has undoubtedly made his way back to the table to gather the groupies for round 2. The girlfriend's purse sits in her lap like a pet. It's one of those impressively tiny bags that snaps at the top. She's dressed in tight blue jeans and a teal shirt that shows off her tan cleavage. Her hair piled high on her head, intentionally messy. Who are you supposed to be? She asks, eyeing his sweater. Charlie Brown? No one special, Kev says, pointing down at the empty glass with lipstick marks. Can I buy you another round? I'm not really drinking, she says. I'm waiting for the bathroom. And they both glance back at the restroom hallway, as though to catch the faint sound of flushing toilets. I'd offer you a light, Kev says, his shrug conveying the rest. I'm not really smoking either, she says. She picks the straw from her glass and noodles it in her mouth, and in that moment she seems older than he'd first guessed. She should be somewhere else, sitting with her girlfriends from work at the tiny Chili's bar just off the highway, or maybe changing into a pair of flannel PJs and curling up on the sofa with a glass of Chardonnay and a bag of microwave kettle corn. This ain't her scene. Kev says, your boyfriend was grilling me pretty hard about music. That's a terrible come-on, the girl says. If you keep saying things like that, no one's ever going to buy that you are a rock star. I'm not a rock star, Kev says, and that wasn't a come-on. Try saying it again. Only put the emphasis on star this time. I'm not a rock star, the girl says, pressing her finger to her chin. I'm not a rock star, Kev says. Star, she says, rock star. You keep practicing. I'm sure you'll get it eventually. Before you know it, they'll be throwing their panties on stage. Who are we talking about here? Muzzy, she says, and the rest of those idiots. Kev glances back toward the table. They are idiots, he thinks. But so is he. In fact, he's made a living out of being idiotic. Wasn't that the joke about the difference between a livelihood and living? One makes you money, the other makes you poor. 8 years ago, the morning afters had all had dreams. But he was the only one dumb enough to actually believe that following his was a good idea. At least that's part of the story. Kev thinks about telling her this, starts in with a clever reply, but when he turns back, it's only to see the girl disappearing into the men's room.